This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. I got Double R, long time, homie.
Man, been a minute.
Calhoun.
Yo, what's going on?
Today we're going to talk about the trials of being an Atlanta sports team fan. This is part two to the Forever I Hate Atlanta Sports Teams podcast with Lenny Self and Mr. MOB. They did a great job. And they're native ATLians who hate all Atlanta teams for the most part. Go back and check that out. That's podcast number 110. This one is kind of a rebuttal to that one. And it's just to say that everybody on this podcast loves Atlanta sports teams. And we're going to say kind of the trials and tribulations of being a sports fan in Atlanta. So that being said, all right, so we started with the college teams, the pro, and then made our way to the pro team. So we'll do the same format that we did on that podcast, and we'll start out with Georgia Tech. Luckily, we got a Georgia Tech expert here, Double R. Georgia Tech, closest team to us.
Yep, out of the city of Atlanta. They're not in Athens. They is an Atlanta team.
Yeah, but Lenny Self, in the first part, he talked about why Georgia Tech suck. Basically, they've been 7-6 damn near every year. Good, never, very rarely great, even though they had the most recent national championship on here. So
I'm not going to even listen to what Lenny Self said because Florida State just started winning when they got the rapist Jameis Winston. But in retrospect, Georgia Tech, what? Florida State just beat them this year. They ain't beat them in the last, 5 years? So yeah. His opinion don't count.
Well, let's talk about some of the trials that you have been a Georgia Tech fan since you've been coming up. So one is that I mess with you because I'm a Georgia fan and you can't beat us. But
we just beat y'all.
Alright. 1 year, but we probably like 14.
No, we're living in the future, not the past, so we talking about nothing but the future stuff.
Alright, well, what trials have you been having to experience since you've been a Georgia Tech fan?
Well, I can't say unlike y'all, the Bulldogs, we do have a national championship. And we've been winning. We had a good year this year.
But by and large, I'm talking about since you've been alive. Where has Georgia Tech been? They've been pretty much average to slightly above average, right? And you always get people like me, Lynn itself, who look down on you guys, call you guys nerds, say you guys haven't won anything, right?
We don't listen to what you cocksuckers say about the team. Y'all opinions are irrelevant. We got Georgia Tech is a great school. We've been doing good. Well, lately, Paul Johnson just started to get it right. We got a good quarterback in who can run the offense to perfection, Justin Thomas. Shout out to you.
All right, let's talk about basketball real quick, because Georgia Tech, in our lifetime, they've actually been.
Hold on before you go to basketball.
Yeah.
Aaron, let me tell you about Georgia Tech. One, we all from the city. Even MOB, all of us from the city. So Georgia Tech is right by us. Like, it's right down the street. If it was on roof for somebody, it would have been Georgia Tech. Nobody would root for it. Georgia State, I don't even think Georgia State was even. They ain't have no teams in them like that. They just got their team, and they're more successful than Georgia Tech. That wasn't pictures up about Georgia Tech.
They were tournament successful. Not in football, Calvin.
What in football? Football, Georgia Tech won a title in 1990, right?
Yep.
Georgia Tech.
I don't look at them more. They got four titles. They opened in 1892. Their first football game was in 1892. You got four titles. You know how many Heisman winners come from Georgia Tech? Not one.
Yes, it do.
Who's the Heisman winner?
We got the John Heisman. You forgot about that, B.
He was the coach. He was the coach, so yeah. The trophy's named after him, but no.
Georgia Tech don't have any Heisman winners in. Is it? You know what I'm saying? The problem with Georgia Tech is, and for the longest, here's the real thing with a lot of Georgia sports. The coach, Paul, he was on the hot seat.
before this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it this year? Last? They were talking about firing him. He finally wins 10 games and now you give him a 4-year extension? How do you give him an extension and he was that shitty this long? 1 year don't make you, don't make or break you.
Well, I won't say he was shitty. I just say he's been what Georgia Tech teams have been, slightly above average. Never really threatened anything.
Well, Paul Johnson had his first year, he was good. He might have had two bad seasons this year. He had three good seasons.
If you say he was slightly above average, Darren, or average at best, he's average, slightly above average at best. That means shit. All
right. So,
and I understand your parent. Listen, I want Georgia Tech to win. I want them to win. Hey, we do for them to win. It's been over. It's been 25 years. We're due for Georgia Tech to win. But when you look at Tech this year, you take a look at them. And I give Paul Johnson this credit. He's really taking two-star recruits and getting off 10 wins in that bullshit Washington wing T offense.
A lot of people can't stop the offense. He's an offensive guru. Man, I'm with you, Paul.
Let me ask you this. And, you know, we can talk about Paul Johnson because he's probably been the best coach since they won the national championship Georgia Tech had. Double R, how would you rate the Paul Johnson experiment at Georgia Tech? Give it a grade, an A through F grade.
I give him a C for right now.
And you a fan.
I'm a fan. I give him a C.
So if he give him a C, you know they're an L.
Nah, they're not an L.
Calhoun, on the outside looking in, what would you give him?
I give him a D because the last season I give him a D.
Why? They won.
I mean, they took Florida State, they snatched all out of college football. But every now and again, I watch. They took Florida State to a while. I was hoping for Jameis Winston to lose all year. I ain't gonna lie. So I watched the game. They gave it to Georgia, bitch ass. And that's what we're gonna talk about, I'm sure, next. But they gave it to them. They won 10 games with that nonsense that he got. He don't have a lot of talent on that team.
And that's why I think y'all graded him too low. I would give him a B. He gets a bunch of geek pencil pushers and nerds and turns them into an average to above average team.
So you know you're gonna go against the pencil pushers and nerds? They called you a pencil pusher nerd? Are you gonna go against them?
Yes, they did call me a pencil pushing a nerd. And again, I'm not going against them. We're talking about why it's hard to be a Georgia Tech fan and an Atlanta fan in general. And the part is they never get that one recruit. Georgia Tech never gets over that hump of being 70.
We done had plenty of. Boy, look at the Calvin Johnson. Look at the Bebe Thomas.
How far you gotta go?
What? Look at the Michael Johnson.
Now, Michael, hold on. Out of them, Calvin Johnson was the only top-tier recruit. The rest of them just went and became specimens during Georgia Tech and after, which is a good shot at Paul Johnson. I mean, he can turn average and slightly above average recruits into NFL stars. But what matters is that if you have Calvin Johnson but have Reggie Ball throwing him the fucking ball.
Damn, so what?
You know what I'm saying? So that it don't matter if you get one recruit.
He stayed on academic probation most of his goddamn career.
Yeah. What the fuck is Reggie Ball anyway?
He's bagging groceries at your local Walmart.
You work at Walmart or somewhere. He's a bomb.
Alright, but anyway, to the point, I think that Paul Johnson has done a commendable job. My biggest gripe with him is that they'll never really win shit because they don't have enough long enough. Like, if you look at them, if you look at the ACC as tiers, Florida State would probably be the top tier. Them and maybe Clemson right now. Georgia Tech is in that second tier with everybody else. They're in the
Virginia
tier.
Virginia Tech and Boston College, though.
Well, Virginia Tech would be traditionally in the higher tier, but like you say, Georgia Tech would be in a tier with Boston College, Virginia, North Carolina. Somebody who just is filler for goddamn college football Saturday. You never really looking at, they won't have a primetime game, but while you waiting on, while the 12 o'clock game over, you waiting for the primetime game. Oh, let me see Georgia Tech take on NC State. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my gripe with them football wise. I didn't want to stay on Tech this long, but I want to shift to basketball too because basketball, Georgia Tech has always had local stars and actually had some good and great moments or whatever. But I think my affinity for Georgia Tech basketball started when I was a kid. I went to a Georgia Tech basketball camp, Bobby Kremer's camp. I was like 10 or something. I actually did good in the count, very good. And, you know, they got, you need to cut a college athlete or something like that. And I always wondered, Bobby Crimmins was so nice. Look, and he reminds you of some white child's grandfather. Always had the white hair, always had a smile on his face. So when basketball season would come around, I would come to Georgia Tech, watch their games, and Georgia Tech would always be that fine girl who you almost can foot but can't quite foot. She's in town for the weekend, but as soon as she get here, somebody's in the hospital, so she has to spend her time at the hospital. Or she's planning on coming this weekend, but she misses her flight. And so it's just somebody who's willing to actually give you the goodies, but it never works out the way it's planned to.
Basketball great until they hire this idiot, Gregory Ooh. Dick. Y'all should have fired Paul Just. I'm still pissed about that.
Paul Hewitt.
Yeah, Paul Hewitt, my bad.
They should have never did that. They let him go and got someone who's worse than her, and they still paying Paul Hewitt, not the coach.
Yeah, that was that one.
This guy Gregory is straight trash can, man. These folks losing. You guarantee two things in life these days, and that's taxes and the Georgia Tech loss.
Yo, Georgia Tech going through the ACC like 1-20 or some shit like that. Like, they're getting their asses handed to them. But let's not focus on where they're at. Now, let's lead up to that to kind of talk about just the whole ensemble. Because Bobby Crimmins, the legend Bobby Crimmins, we all can agree he was an Atlanta legend. Brought James Forrest, brought Stephon Marbury, brought Ken Anderson. Georgia Tech actually had some national champions.
The great Drew
Barry,
you got
about him. Georgia Tech actually had some national championship aspirations with talent. Did you guys follow? I know you did, Double R Calhoun. Did you follow Georgia Tech basketball as a young man?
Two seasons I followed, for sure. Because I'm not a college watcher. If I don't watch college football, I darn sure don't watch college basketball. But two seasons I watched, for real. And that was that Drew Barry, Stephon Marbury year. And they gave us a show, and they fought. That was a good team. I also watched that Javaris Crittenden kid. He was around here, so he's a product of this neighborhood. But I watched that Jerry Jack here too. That year they had real with Paul Hewitt. They had made some noise in the tournament. So I really was a fan of watching them. Georgia Tech, their basketball was pretty much on a high level for a while. I don't know why they just fell off like they did after these last few years, but Georgia Tech was known for basketball.
Yeah, it was a basketball school, and again, thanks to Bobby Crimmins, you got to remember James Forrest, like Double R said, Ken Anderson. I remember them going to the Final Four. I actually thought they'd win, but they wound up losing to Cincinnati in the Final Four. But Bobby Crimmins always kept a solid Sweet 16 squad on them. You know what I'm saying? And back then, they were competing with the North Carolinas, the Dukes. If you look at North Carolina and Duke as basketball royalty during that time, Georgia Tech was the next tier down, which means that, hey, they can catch you in at night. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. They're definitely going to be one of the top 15 teams in the country. But if you fuck around and catch them slipping, they'll be in the Final Four, even playing for the national championship. And so I thought Bobby Crimmins did a good job, and that was, for me, that was like a thing of pride that I used to walk around with. Like, hey, Georgia Tech, like you guys said, they're a neighborhood team. They're literally in Atlanta. We see them going back and forth through Atlanta, and they're actually winning. And so I thought, I want to salute Bobby Crimmins for that. And even Paul Hewitt for taking that first team to the national championship game. I wanted them to win that national championship game so bad. And they were above average team, but definitely not a national championship team. But, you know.
They got hired at the right time. A lot of people don't remember that Chris Bosh was on the team, but he left. He left the year before.
Yeah. I like Georgia Tech, and Lord knows I didn't want to keep this going this long. It's because, besides the winning, they always keep a local kid on the team. Mark Price, who was from, you know, the Atlanta area, he kept James Forrest, who was from Southside, which is a school that's in proximity,
in the neighborhood.
He kept Javaris Crittenden, who actually lived in our neighborhood. He kept Derek Favors, who even, you know, they kept Derek Favors, who lived in the neighborhood. They kept Ishmael Muhammad, just other little role players. So they always hit a home run in keeping that local talent. And so that's one of the reasons I would salute and say, you know, I'm a fan of Atlanta, but it's been a trial just because they never got over that hump basketball wise.
And that's going to be the theme of the whole podcast. Of course, here's the theme of it. A lot of Atlanta teams that's good enough to get you interested, even good enough for you to root for, but the problem comes, they never win. You never get to dance. What I was saying, even with Paul Johnson fit the mold of all of the coaches we're going to talk about. He fits that same little laid back, ain't no rah-rah type of coach. And watch, the next guy we're going to talk about is the same laid back, no rah-rah type of guy.
Without further ado, that guy is Mark Rick in the University of Georgia Bulldogs.
I'm sorry, did you say Mike Smith? Oh, no. You say Freddie Gonzalez? Oh, no. Oh, yeah, Mark Rick. Yeah, that guy.
Let me go on and take point guard on this one or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my wheelhouse. Double R is a big Georgia Tech fan, right, Double R?
Oh, no doubt.
I'm a Georgia fan, and go on to lead it in, Double R, since I got to talk about Georgia Tech a lot. Go on to lead it in to Georgia. What are your thoughts of Georgia?
Every you guys come with preseason hype. We're going to win the SEC. We're going to win a national championship. But you always come up just a little bit short, like he was on the goal line against Alabama and you missed a pass in the end zone.
Stop right there. Perfect analogy. Exemplifies what Calhoun said. Now, let me start first. Let me go on to take this ball.
Hold on, you sure did? Because you're going to be longer than me.
Go ahead, Calhoun.
Yeah, this your time to shine, so let's get us out the way. And you go ahead, and I want you to LeBron James next time. Let me tell you why I hate Georgia. Well, I don't hate Georgia. I'm so neutral. I like Tech and Georgia. I'm really that kind of home team fan that whichever one winning, I'm riding with them. So, of course, these last, I don't know, 10 or so years, it's been Georgia. The problem is Mark Rick. And you can go ahead and you can claim Mark Bobo. You can go ahead and say Stafford. You can go ahead and say Andy. You can say what you want to say. The problem is Mark Rick. Mark Rick with this, the Georgia way, which is what everyone does with the, we're not going to take these boys who get in a little trouble. We're not going to do this. We're going to be Christians up here. Well, go join a fucking ministry, nigga. We're trying to win something around here. That play in the Alabama game, I was in the hospital. I was watching that game. You don't take the time out. You don't get a play in. You just let that just go. And so you're on the sideline at home, mind you, because they was at the dome. You're here, and you knew you would have got you a win over Notre Dame. And you just pissed that down your leg. But if you look at every year he pisses it down his leg, he had no business losing to Georgia Tech. His recruiting class is always in the top 10. Yet we can never move the needle. It's ridiculous. They lose so many games just off of dumb shit. Off of Mark Rick shit. And as long as Mark Rick is the coach of Georgia, there's no sense of room for Georgia. All they do is, they're like a hoe who you don't already... You know, and I already took out wine and died. You get home and she says she's on a period. And that's what Georgia is.
Brilliant analysis. Let me speak as the only one here who's a Georgia supporter, regardless of how they're doing. First off and foremost, to Calhoun's point, where the theme of this is that, hey, these coaches always come up a step short, if you will. Part of the problem is that maybe these coaches aren't the final piece to the puzzle. Maybe they're good transitional pieces, but not the action actually be the ones leading you to the promised land. Like Moses in the Bible. Moses didn't lead them into the promised land. He just took them from being slaves to getting close to the promised land. Somebody else led them into the promised land. And so I think that may be the problem with a lot of these Atlanta coaches, which is exemplified by Mark Rick. I personally think Mark Rick is the best thing that happened to Georgia since Herschel Walker.
After Herschel, hell, you can say that.
I'm going to tell you why. After Herschel Walker, Georgia was good. After Herschel Walker left, Georgia was always good, never great. So that's when the hill started going down. Then after Vince Dooley retired, he got his national championship and retired. Ray Goff took over. We all remember Eric Zaire throwing for all them yards on TBS Superstation 17. Georgia was going 5-6, 6-5. They weren't winning shit, but they were throwing Arizona, breaking every fucking record book. Ray Goff got fired in like 4 or 5 years. Then we got Jim Dunning, Mr. 7-4 himself. Him and Chan Gailey, Mr. 7-4 and 7-5 themselves. We had Quincy Carter. Everybody used to like Quincy Carter. First black Georgia quarterback at Georgia.
Quincy Carter
was going 7-4.
I heard him too.
He was going 7-4, 7-4, 8-3. Again, back to the point, good enough to get you looking, but never good enough to really do any damage, right? And then comes Mark Richt. Mark Richt is kind of the blessing and the cursing of itself. Like most people in their relationships. Your spouse's or the person, the spouse's greatest gift is probably their biggest detriment too. Meaning if you date somebody who likes to talk, well, she likes to talk, so that's a real good thing. But then she talks too much. So the thing with Mark is it applies to sports and Mark Richt too. Mark Richt is too nice a guy and he knows too much and he's too even keeled, which is good to a certain point because you keep your kids even keeled, but you never get to that point where you exude the next level. So of course, when you get to the Sugar Bowl against Hawaii, they get their ass whipped. I mean, against West Virginia, they get their ass whipped. Of course, when Alabama comes to Georgia in a statement game where you can show everybody you're for real for the national championship, they lose that game 35-0. Of course, when you catch Florida, who's fucking can't throw the ball worth a shit and threw six fucking passes, beat us this year. Of course, in the SEC championship game, when they lost to Alabama. Of course, when you get South Carolina, hey, if we can get through this South Carolina game, the schedule lays out for us completely easy, and we don't get through the South Carolina game 2 years in a row. Of course, we catch Boise State at home, and damn, if we beat Boise State, now Georgia is actually looking like the number one team in the country when they were pre-ranked number two in the country. Of course, we lose that game. Of course, we go to the games where Florida, hey, Florida's kind of down this year. Georgia has to make a statement. Of course, we lose those games. Auburn is up. How the fuck do you lose on a Hail Mary when the guy, your two guys tip it to themselves and then the guy catches it off of it? Of course, all this stuff happens to Mark Richt. You know why? Because he's Mark fucking Richt. He'll win every game. He'll pull a win out your ass you never thought saw coming. Just like last year or the year before last. They'll lose to LSU. Oh, wow, they beat LSU. Let's look and see what happens next. South Carolina. Lost. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, Mark Richt gives you some of the good and some of the bad. And as a Georgia fan, you get tired of seeing all these fucking pro prospects, people who flourish in the pros, and they never achieve that level in college. And it's a combination of things. Bobo was bad, but it's Mark Richt's job to replace Bobo. Grantham was horrible, but it's Mark Richt's job to replace Grantham. Yeah, you had some kids who got in some trouble, but it's Mark Richt's job not to just let them go, but to fix this. Mark Richt has to show passion and persona because his kids need that in critical times, and he hasn't shown it. And to Double R's point, that moment, and to Calhoun's point too, that moment in the SEC championship game summed, that SEC championship game was the Mark Richt experience in a microcosm. It was a complete reflection on the Mark Richt experience. They start out getting their ass kicked by Alabama. They come back, take the lead from Alabama. Come back, lose the lead to Alabama. Take the lead from Alabama. Lose the lead from Alabama. Take the lead. Lose the lead. Okay, Georgia got a chance to take the lead and go to the national championship. What happens? What we want to happen is Georgia wins, but we all know in the back of our head what's going to happen. Georgia's going to find a way to blow it. And not only do they find a way to blow it, they find the Mark Richtiest way of blowing it ever. On the fucking three, then call a timeout, trust a leader in Aaron Murray, and he blows the game. And what does Mark Richt say? Don't nobody criticize him. Criticize us. Of course we should fucking criticize you. This is the Mark Richt way. Sorry for that rant, fellas.
No, that shit was dope, man. I was gonna say add on, we ain't adding no to shit to that. You can go on to the next thing. Whoever you passionate about, that's how it goes. Go to the next one, man. That's a period on that.
Alright, the next team, I'm sorry about that.
You can hear the distraught. You can hear the anger. You can hear the pain. You can hear the letdown in that voice. Keep it rolling, because it's more to come.
Before we go to this thing, let me ask you this, Darren. Would you trade Mark Richt in right now for another coach, or would you roll with him?
And that's the problem with the Mark Richt experience. And where? That's an excellent question. Trade them in for who?
True. A lot of people want Mark Richt fired. That's the problem with it. If you let Mark Richt go, the next coach in here, he got some big shoes to fill. He got to win a national championship. Or it's a failure.
It's like I told Darren. Saying that shit with Mark Richt just because you know you're coming with you guys like being in a bad relationship but you scared to leave. You never know what you got. You never can get better if you never put yourself back out there. You can't stick in a bad abusive relationship or a bad relationship all because it's a relationship that you know. If he's not getting a job done, and it's been 15 years, hasn't it? 15 or 16 years. He's not getting a job done. He's not going to get the job done.
Now let me counter as a Georgia enthusiast. It took Joe Pa and Bobby Bowden the 30 years to win their first national championship. Who can you get? Because you can only really truly replace Rick with a proven national championship winner. So if somebody said, hey, Nick Saban want to come to Georgia, hell yeah, you get Mark Richt. Urban Meyer want to come to Georgia, hell yeah, you get rid of Mark Richt. But who else could you really trade him for? Either you're getting somebody who hasn't done it where they're at, and basically you're getting a Mark Richt clone with a different offensive scheme problem.
Listen. You can take that barber thump or he can go to hell. He ain't gonna get the job done. He don't even want no dogs on his team. I'm with you with who you get to replace him, but shit, if you gotta replace him, you gotta replace him.
Double R, that's a good question, but I would say stick. A known known is better than an unknown known, right?
True. What's he gonna offensive coordinator to be your head coach?
Like I say, you gonna replace him with a proven commodity, and we gonna get rid of Georgia. We gonna use this Calhoun analogy with the relationship. In your analogy with the relationship, you just sitting there hoping that the person can just get over the hump one day. Maybe the girl is a fucking annoying. Maybe she's just a nagger. Maybe you hoping after you talk to her, after you show her how nagging frustrates the hell out of you, then maybe one day she'll understand, and just one time she'll stop nagging. So once something, she may nag you about, hey, why don't you wash the dish after you eat? Maybe one day she won't say nothing after you eat and don't wash the dish. Maybe she'll just let it be. And that's what you're hoping with Mark Richt, that, hey, the problems that he had, if it all come together one day, because you just need one of them, then hopefully this one day will come under our watch. So that's all this sums up the Mark Richt experience as a whole. So let's go from Georgia, because Lord knows I could stay on this all day long. Let's get away.
They boil your water, bro.
Not really. That is just, of all these teams and all these coaches, he's the longest tenure and had the most, he's had the most to work with and giving you the same results as people who had far less to work with. All right, next team. The Atlanta Braves. One of y'all take it away, because I got to calm. My blood pressure done went to 1,000 over 500. I got to calm down. I'm talking about Mark Richt.
Oh, boy, my Braves. I love the Braves. I loved them in the 90s growing up. I remember when they went from worst to first in the first, when we were doing the Tomahawk Chop era. I'm telling you, one Brave, one member, it got me so mad. Well, it didn't get me mad, but I was looking forward to it. It might have been 1991. Or was it 92? Who they played in 91? Did they play Toronto in the World Series? Or that was the Minnesota?
It was Minnesota first, then Toronto, right?
I thought it was Toronto first, then Minnesota. But whatever it was, I think it might have been whoever it was 91, though. It was back, I think I was about 11 or 12. I was 11 years old, 91. So the Braves, I think the series got tied up. It was 2-2. No, it was 2-2. But Braves had home field advantage, right? They had the home field advantage. And they told us, it was game 5, they told us. But the Braves make it to game 7, we got tickets to go to the World Series. Our football team, Little League football team, shot to Perkins Park. Oh, y'all, we the Perkins Park Vikings back then. And we did win the championship. But it got to game 6 in Atlanta. I'm thinking, yeah, I need the Braves to win this so we go to game 7. And the Braves lost at home. Man, I was so mad I didn't get to make it to the world, get to go to the World Series as a kid.
That
must have been in 92 when they did face the Blue Jays. They went to, they faced the Minnesota Twins first. But that one went, that one went four, that one went the whole seven. So,
it must have been 92 then, you're right.
Yeah. So, but of course they went seven games, and of course they lost. But with the Braves, I got Darren Shearhost probably is the best GM to ever put his hands on any Atlanta sport.
He's probably the best sports figure in Atlanta history, right?
He might be. He's the most successful by far. He's he has to be an all-time great MLB GM. He went he got 14 straight division titles. What, he went to the World Series four or five times during that?
Yeah, hold on real quick. Remind the kids that this was before the wild card, most of these. So
yeah, so you had to win the division.
It was only two teams going to the playoffs.
Yes.
Just to show you how good you had to be. The Braves was something, because we grew up in the 80s with the Darren Murphy, and we knew how they stunk it up when you go to Fulton County Stadium and get a ticket all the way in the back and walk to the front.
I did that plenty of time. I got the dollar seats and walked down. Me and my cousin Derek, shout out to Derek, we used to go to the game with the dollar seats and walk down the seat, good seats, because we couldn't afford the the lower level, and the Braves game was so empty.
And they let you do it. That was the biggest thing. They let you come to, in today's world with greed, they would not let you come down there and sit. You could still buy the same $3 seats, but you can't sit your ass down though. Back then, you could, because nobody was at the fucking Braves game. They were losing 100 fucking games a year.
We loved them. And I do remember the worst of first. Let me tell you, that year, I tell you, everyone know what it was when Sid Breen slid in the home. Everybody knew it. Stayed up late night, school night, watched Sid Breen round third base, slow as hell, on his giddy up, and slide in. I knew it. One of those moments I had with my pops. Yep. So, and I tell you, make it even special. That year, that same year, I was at Mars Brandon School, and David Justice came to the school.
Oh, man. That was terrible.
I remember it. I remember like hell. They kept saying David Justice coming. And he didn't go like to the auditorium. He was going to class to class to class. And I was going to the bathroom, and he was coming up the stairs. And when he came around, I shook his hand. I was like, hey, how you doing? He was like, hey, how you? And then kept going. And then he came in my class later on. He went from class to class to class. David Justice at the Atlanta Braves. I remember that was in 92. I remember that like yesterday.
Oh, man, you're taking it back. You got me reminiscing when the Braves had the parade, when they lost the World Series.
Yes.
I went to the parade downtown. I remember my cousin got us out of school early to go to the parade, man. Oh, boy, you're taking it back, Calhoun.
I tell you what my uncle used to do. He used to, on Fridays, put us all in the car and just ride down Lakewood, down Pryor Road. You didn't have to go to the stadium and then watch the fireworks. So, the Braves is just, when you talk about your childhood, you gotta talk about the Braves. They gave you a lot of good memories, not just as a kid and with a good team. You finally had something to root for in Atlanta. You finally had a winner. You finally had something that brought joy to you, and it brought you some memories. Not fast forward.
But those memories could have been greater if they won one more fucking World Series, right?
J1. You could have won two more, but J1. You had no business losing. Okay, the Twins, you were first in there, but you lost to Toronto, but you came back, got some, you lost to Toronto, you should have beat them. You did beat Cleveland, but the Yankees we had up 2-0 coming back home.
Man, I hated that one too.
And got back no swell with that roster, with those pitchers. Nah, we should have lost that.
That, the Yankees team was good.
We got one of the all-time best pitching rotation in baseball history.
Yeah.
So let's just be real here. But if you fast forward to the 2000s, they find a way, and the theme is Atlanta teams find a way to pitch it down their leg. Remember the last year with Bobby Cox? That's winning for Bobby. When we got some bullshit pop rule, M rule fly thing that happened, they got us knocked out the wild card. And then last year with the last year Chipper Jones was his same thing. And then you look at Freddie Gonzalez. If you listen to Freddie Gonzalez press conferences and listen to Mike Smith press conferences, it's the same guy. And Mark Richt press conferences. And Paul Johnson. They all sound the same.
At least with Paul Johnson, like you said, one of the things we can give him his credit is he's turning twos and threes into guys. It's just like a hairstylist turning a four into an eight after he get done with him. You know what I'm saying? At least he's doing that. Mark Rick is taking dimes and making them look like sevens.
You're right about that. I want to tell Paul Johnson out, but that Freddie Gonzalez, this is the worst. I want to tell Phillips to get it. When Bobby Cosgrove, I want Teddy P to get it. Teddy P been riding since tonight. I didn't want him in there. And if you're going to get a minority making a nigga, fuck that wet back. But as far as it, how they doing this shit, look at all the moves they made this year. You got rid of all your bats except for Freddie Freeman, who wasn't, you didn't have that hell of a great of a season last year, but with the Braves it is. And then you went and replaced it with a whole bunch of unknown Tommy John surgery pitches. And they've been on this whole campaign for the long. We don't go after talent no more. We just don't win. BJ Upton, Melvin was going to be called this year. We got rid of Justin Upton, but kept BJ.
Kept the wrong one, didn't we?
Kept the wrong one. How you get rid of, how'd you let Jason Hayward go? He's 25. He got a lot more to go. The way we batted last year, you could tell it wasn't the bat, it was the coaching. We have a bad bat coach. But we've been looking like trash for the last few years. So now they want to be right here and they want to build a stadium. But get the hell on, good riddance. Because you're right here looking like trash, man, like they don't care at all. And they're doing what Atlanta teams do. They're building on the budget. I don't know why they're building on the budget. Knowing us in the MLB bills on the budget, that doesn't work. That Billy Bean shit don't work. We had an Oakland A's one. Shit.
I agree completely with you with Billy Bean, but I think they're building on the budget because it kind of ties to the stadium. So they want to break in that stadium with some big moves. So I think they're safe, they're hedging their bets for that.
I doubt it. Because these last few years, whenever you know them not to. Gary Sheffield played good, look good, what we do? Send him out, we got a big contract. Mark Serra played good, look good, what we do? Send him out to the Yanks, it's a big contract. Even McCain, what we do? Send him out. If you ask for money with them Braves, you're getting sent off. That's what the Braves do. We ain't been shit since Mark Lemke, Ryan Gant, David Jett, we ain't been shit since then. Everybody else at the end, the big cat, Brad McGriff, the crown dog, everything after that, if they ask for any money after Ted Turner, the key to all this was Ted Turner. Ted Turner spent that money. Remember Ted Turner, James Fund in the Floyd County Stadium?
Yeah.
They spent money. They didn't care, but when this big organization, when this business bought them, it went to shit. That's what the problem is. It totally went to shit. After Ted Turner, after he sold the company, man, we were doomed. And it just showed. And so now, that's what they look like.
Yeah, but I had a lot of good stories at that Fulton County Stadium. Also, I got another story. I don't know if you remember or not, but the first time I went to Turner Field, me and you went together. Yeah. Did your dad had got tickets some kind of way? How do you get those tickets?
I think my dad or whatever.
But it was like, I think the Braves were playing the Marlins, Florida Marlins. Yeah. I think Gary Sheffield on that team.
Yo, that was the year they won the championship.
Oh, yeah. When I was like 98, was it 98? I think that Gary Sheffield might have hit a home run that game.
He did.
But it was a good game, I think. Who was on that team that year?
That wasn't your chip and went bananas, was it?
But it was just the first time going to Turner Field, seeing the stadium. I'm like, well, this is a nice stadium. Okay, just they always went to Fulton County, so it was the first time at Turner Field.
Turner Field was nice, and less than 20 years later, Turner Field would be gone.
And that's crazy. How you gonna knock down the Olympic Stadium?
Exactly. Calhoun, you got any more thoughts on the Braves?
Yeah, I'll show you what era we in and how stupid they are. They just traded away the best closer in baseball.
Kimbrough.
So, arguably the best athlete in Atlanta sports. And not athletically, but now in Atlanta sports, we don't have the best anything. We don't have the best point guard. We don't have the best quarterback. We don't have the best DB. We don't have the best baseball player. But we had the best closer. We finally had something that was the best. And these jackoffs, in Atlanta fashion, traded them off.
Where were you when the Braves won the World Series? I start, like I said, on the first night of the first part, when he's a fish with my dad. And we went crazy. The whole restaurant went crazy. First part, when he's a fish on Jonesboro Road. We were eating a 10-piece hot. He was eating a 10-piece hot. And we went crazy when the Braves won.
I was sitting in my bedroom looking at it. And I remember like, oh, yes. And I'm like, hey, why are you making all that damn noise?
I was at home watching it like I usually do. Anything, any sport I want to watch, paramount, I watch it at home.
All right, so let's transition from the Braves. We got two more teams left. We talked about Georgia, Georgia Tech, Atlanta Braves. Now we got the Atlanta Hawks. Why do we love Atlanta Hawks? Let's start off. We'll start with the number one Hawks fan out of us three, Double R.
Why do I love the Hawks? Because, you know, I used to love Dominique, Spudwell, Doc Rivers. I love that Hawks team. And the white boy, John Concat.
Yeah, go ahead, Calhoun.
Well, I mean, it's the home team, right? So, the problem that we have with all these motherfuckers, well, we love them, but they treat us like an ungrateful bitch. Like, you done took your whole day off, you done helped with this whole gun shopping, carrying bags, you done took out to eat, you done took her to the movies, you done went shopping with her all day, you done just been there for you, listen to her work stories and her problems. And then this bitch get home and don't want to fuck. She tired from doing all the stuff that you helped her do. So that's what's going on even with the Hawks. Now, the Hawks, as much as you love them, much as you love Dominique, these sons of bitches go and trade Danny Manning. I don't give a fuck what Fred Topaz did. You don't trade Dominique for Danny Manning. With two blown out knees at that. So after that, you just see just how the Hawks just throughout history have been who they are. This is a team that's almost 50 years old here in Atlanta. Maybe about 50 years old. And where are the Hawks won for us? I'm asking you two.
Oh, only thing we won is.
That's why we were quiet. And we knew you were asking us.
What
have they won?
Just a first round playoff series. That's the only thing we won.
This year is the first year we've even gotten a 60 win. That's amazing to me. I would have thought we would have at least had 160-win season before. This is our first year at 60-win. And so, showing you how Atlanta sports are, we finally got some room for it, right? Now, we've seen this roster before the season and knew, hey, we got a piece of shit team. But we got a wonderful coach. Amazing. Unbelievable. Everything's right. And then we got this piece of shit cracker GM go and make some kind of remark about it after. Now, I'm not a fan of African spirit-checking Africans. Not my thing. I understand if you did that, but if you in that profession, keep your lips shut. And then we got another racist bastard in our ownership. But I think them niggas just trying to get over just to get some money that they seen what happened with Daniel Sterling.
Oh, yeah, they saw him cash out, so now they trying to cash out. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, that's what they're doing. So fast forward. So now, Danny Ferry, and as you heard on the Danny Ferry report card, who's made 100 moves, of just getting pure shit. And I got a coach who can get this shit together and he can make it work. You know what I'm saying? He went into a trash can, he went dumpster diving, and he went and found a few things. He's adding them all up, and now he's making something work. And now we have two of these motherfuckers in a club in New York. I know they could not have headlined the club because Perry and Teach and Cephalosha can't get hoes to come to a club here in Atlanta. So surely, them two and Copeland can't get hoes to come to a club in New York. But fast forward. This dickhead, Cephalosha, wrestling with the cops, breaks his ankle. That's Atlanta for
you. I think that's a good way of summing it up.
Not just that. One more thing. With the 15th pick in this year's draft, Adrian Payne, you trade a 6'10 guy with unbelievable upside. He goes to Minnesota and immediately has an impact. Meanwhile, we still keep the motherfucker we just named, Perry and Teach. We still have John Jenkins. We still have Mike Muscala. Now, I know to everyone who's listening who's not living here in Atlanta, you don't know who these guys are, as you should. But these are the people who we have on our roster. These are, and notice I said people, not players. These are like your local YMCA pickup gamers. that's what the hell we got here in Atlanta, and that's why it's so frustrating. Every big man got, if it's one in the free agency, they don't go after them. They don't care because they have a way of doing things, and this is the whole theme of this podcast, the Atlanta way, which is sign bullshit and win nothing. But, you know, if you're Georgia, beat Florida. If you're the Falcons, beat the Saints. If you're the Hawks,
Who knows? And if you the Braves.
If you the Hawks, don't finish with the worst record in the NBA.
If you the Hawks, get to the playoffs and you're satisfied.
Yeah. There you go. It doesn't matter. Keep that streak of going to the playoff alive. All that's doing is fucking up your lottery and you ain't building your team. But it don't matter because your GM can't draft what the fuck anyway. So that's the whole theme of Atlanta sports. And that's why even with the Hawks right now, we're riding the wave. I hope they go all the way. But honestly, man, they're lacking. And they haven't even tried to address it.
That's true, but you said about what's his name? Made the racist remark.
Danny Ferry.
I kind of like Danny Ferry. He did one thing nobody, I didn't think he would have done. He got somebody to take Joe Johnson's contract. So.
Thank you. Stop right there. We talked about this on the Danny Ferry report card. I told Calhoun on the Danny Ferry report card, if he can get rid of Joe Johnson, you can turn the horn to a house like, excuse me.
The comeback is easier. I had told you, I don't see how that's a bad move. Getting rid of an all-star. Now, all you can say is Joe Johnson money. So the fuck what if you have the money? And so the fuck what if you're not replacing it with anything? Joe Johnson contract, if it was handcuffing the franchise, fine. If you were dropping Joe Johnson to go and go after the Dwight Howard sweepstakes, the Chris Paul sweepstakes, the LeBron sweepstakes, we know he wasn't coming, but going after him and have the money to do it. The Carmelo Anthony sweepstakes, anything. If he was doing that, you know, Durant's contract is coming up a little year. James Harden, he was coming out of OKC. If he was doing any of this stuff to get somebody like that or to make some kind of move, fine. But to drop a perennial all-star just for shit, just to say he's off the book. Y'all had like, he just got DeMar Carroll making that kind of money. We got DeMar Carroll off the book. Joe Johnson was a good player.
He was
a top 10 scorer. He had size. He could shoot from anywhere. He did all that. He didn't have a killer instinct, but Joe Johnson was damn good.
Calhoun, we doing better. If Joe Johnson was here, we might not even be in the position we in. That was a good move.
Right now, so we dropped Joe Johnson to get who?
We dropped everybody. We got a low budget team, but we playing good. Like if the Hawks want to make and go get a superstar, they could. But I don't think they're gonna go that route.
I think Double R hit on the nail on the head. If you're not gonna get a superstar and you're not gonna bottom out, then you have to try to do the Detroit Pistons model, right? Hey, we'll get enough good players that we can beat two great players with eight good players, essentially.
It doesn't work.
It worked in Detroit.
I need to tell you that. Everyone will tell you that. There is no balling on the budget.
It is easier with a star, but if you can't get a star, then what's your next course?
You have to coach them up. And now what they're doing.
Now, the teams that win, it's only one team that really won, but we can't say that Detroit didn't have star power. Tayshaun Prince is just coming from the draft.
All of them on the same level as who the Hawks got now. Like, there's nobody over there.
Hawks ain't got nothing like Rasheed Wallace.
Al Horford and Paul Millsap in that same category of people.
Listen, I'm just saying what Detroit had. We don't have the talent Detroit had.
I think we do.
Yeah. We're close to it. They might be
a notch builder, but it's not that far.
It ain't that far.
What I'm saying is this. All this trying to do this shit on the budget, it's a cap for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the speed limit. The speed limit is 65. But you can go 40 miles an hour on the expressway. Granted, nobody goes 40 miles per hour unless they're an old senile bitch in the slow lane. But other than that, everybody, the speed limit 65 is going with 80. The Hawks, if you take that analogy, you can go to the Hawks and their payroll. Atlanta sports, period. We're trying to win. We're trying to go 40 miles an hour and win. Like everyone else is going 65, and some team are even over the budget. That doesn't work.
For them to be under the budget, they don't want 60 games with under the budget. So they doing something right, Calhoun. I'm going to take my hat out to Bud.
This year, unless we, this doesn't happen, this isn't consistent. Last year, we truly are going from worst to first. They was eighth in the playoff, and now they going to first. Nobody predicted this, especially with that roster. So, this year, yeah. You can say that. But, I mean, they're all going to see how it all pans out.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think now, since them winning 60 games, did they more free agents be attracted to come play in Atlanta?
I think the Hawks don't play up. I think the Atlanta teams don't play up. to young black boys, this is the black city that young black boys want to be.
A lot of guys can handle that.
That says a lot about Atlanta sports, because most of the niggas in any league have a house here in Atlanta. Most of the niggas in every league come party in Atlanta. Most of the niggas in the, because if it's black, they come into Atlanta. But what's a disgrace is we can't lure none of these players to our pro teams. One, because we don't even try to. Two, because the one thing I hope we take away from this season, being honest, we'll attract some big name creators. That's what I hope. So next time we're going up, because you see what kind of coach we have, you see what kind of city already did, you see that the fans will come, and you, because that's what's new too. Now look at this. We broke a lot of records this year. We not only broke that, we broke a record win with fan attendance. We never had this many sellouts. So remember, this is how bad this is. Remember when this was about 2 years ago, Atlanta sports team was deemed worse.
Atlanta was the worst sports city. Atlanta was the worst sports city.
Exactly. There you go. That's what we're, and you know why? Because this is what they read on. When your team is good enough, but they're not great, or they don't win. And that's exactly what our teams do. They're good, they're great, they don't win. See what we do, because we're always good. And what's your saying, D? The enemy of great is good, right?
Yep.
And that's what we do. So we're consistently satisfied and pacified by mediocrity. Because that's essentially what it is. If you're not winning anything, you bullshit. And trying to do it with this formula, it's shit.
The Hawks are an efficiently ran and managed organization. For all the shit that you sat here and said, Calhoun, they ran efficiently. They ran like a motherfucker who makes $30,000 a year, who buy them a house on their budget. You know what I'm saying? They doing what they can do with what they have. You know what I'm saying? They're living below their means, essentially. Right now. I think the good things about the Hawks have been, we've probably only had maybe 3 wild players in our lifetime in Atlanta sports. 4, excuse me. And one of them played for the Hawks, Dominique. Mr. Mobee said it best. Dominique was dunking on niggas. He was doing some of everything. You know what I'm saying? And so, from the 80s, he carried us through the 80s, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and part of my early 90s.
In the early 90s. So we can go back and say, we got Dominique. We won't give a damn. Y'all say, join whoever. We can throw Nick up, and his name got respect in any conversation, right?
True.
In the 90s, when we started getting older, the Hawks became a more workmanlike team. So they replaced the showmanship of Dominique with the Mutombos, the Smithies, the Mookie Blaylocks. So they never were going to wow you, but they always were probably the second or third best team in the East. They couldn't beat Jordan them. And then but they would always run up on joining them. That's how it always would end up. They'd get up on joining them. But they could beat the Indiana. They could split with the Indiana, split with the Knicks. You know, they were always in that 2-4 range of teams in the East. And then, you know, we had the lull time for a couple of years. And then, basically, they brought us back to kind of where we were with Dikembe and Mookie Blaylock them. You know what I'm saying? Nothing that really wows you, but pieces that are good together. Now, the difference is in all this is that the East isn't as strong. I think by and large, Atlanta, the Hawks have been, they haven't been consistent, but they've been, minus those little 5 years, they've been what you can expect or whatever. Maybe between the second and fifth best team in the East.
Yeah, they've been consistently lackluster.
Exactly.
So they got us on a high now because they're doing great this year. But consistently, they've been lackluster. Even our best teams have not done that.
I mean, the best team we had in the Hawks was the team with Dominique them, and they ran up on Larry Bird them, and they lost. I mean, the Hawks have had good.
That team better than
Mookie
Blaylock. That team won like 58 games. Like, that's the team that whose record this team just broke.
But that team now, you got to think.
That East wasn't weak either.
I was just about to say, Calhoun, that East was strong. It was Cleveland with Cleveland.
That year, the Hawks were the second best team in the East. They just couldn't beat Boston.
Yeah, 57 win. Yeah, it was. So that's the only thing about the Hawks, man. I'm telling you. As much as you root for the home team, as much as you want to, it really is a bad relationship. It's a horrible relationship. Because at the end, she lets you down. So hopefully this time, she done beg. Baby, I'm sorry, just come back up. And now we are open arms once again, hard on our sleeves.
We all know who comes next in this line of people. We're going to keep it simple and sweet with this team, the Atlanta Falcons. Who want to start off with them?
Oh, man. It hurt my heart just to talk about it. I let one of you guys say something about it.
Calhoun, you want to go first or you want to bet clean up?
Let's go. I'll tell you about the Falcons. The piece of shit, garbage organization that they are. The no good, low down, by church for that second rate ass team. You root for them bums every year. And lately, they've captured your heart. About 5-6 years ago was the first time they had back-to-back winning seasons. So let me show you how pathetic that is. They came into existence in 1966. And they was on, that was a record, not having back-to-back winning season in all of sports. Who went 40-something years like that? That just goes to show you the agony it is of being a Falcon fan. You talk about self-promotion, parallel, and teach. These sons of bitches finally beat Minnesota 15-1, which is already one of the best games ever. You go to Minnesota going to, what was it, triple overtime? Here you are, field goal, kick, Anderson coming and kicking. You go into South Beach, we can beat the Broncos, but you saw Eugene Robinson fucking trainers, the preacher. Tony Martin, they got a bell eye. The rest of them niggas probably in doping. Goddamn, at club and carrying on.
At club, Coco's and Rolex kicking it.
Y'all ain't won that thing. And here y'all are, best season ever in another franchise. You got an 1,800-yard running back. You got a 2,000-yard receiver. You got a 4,000-yard quarterback. You got the number, what was it, the top five defense. You got all of the cards, the Dirty Birds, to win it all. And what you do, piss it down your leg. Then you get your Mike Vick. This nigga here is surrounded by a whole bunch of tailtales. Y'all nigga don't want to go to jail for dogs? That's about 30 days. Y'all can't have the 30 days so y'all get this nigga locked up. And we all know the story of that. And before that, we all know about the bomb foul. We used to fight more than we used to win. Of course, we had the two legit Falcons. It was two legit. We ain't going nowhere. And Steve Barkowski, they ain't do shit. We have consistently with these Falcons fucked ourselves. First two was management. It was ownership. Remember the Rankin Smith them. Now, with this piece of shit, bomb ass Thomas Dimitro, it's self-destruction. He's a ticking time bomb in a briefcase. That's what he is. You know what he is? He's an Arab on a plane with a high turban. You better keep your eyes on him because he's going to blow that shit to shit. And that's exactly what he did. They just hit free agency in our free agent podcast. You listen to some of the moves. And they signed a whole bunch of who guys. A whole bunch of Google guys. And what are those? The kind of guys when they sign, you go, who? And the other kind of guy you saw, you gotta Google this nigga to know who it is. And of course, it's trash. That's who they sign. That's what they do. And then they trot this nonsense on the field and say, hey, we're gonna win it all. No, the fuck, we're not. So again, here we are going through the rotation. And we know what the Falcons gonna do because now we're used to it. But they always get your hopes up just to let you down. You know what they are? They're Sibba who keeps going to jail. And every time he get out, he tell you he gonna do right. And every time, there he is again, in your mom's purse, stealing her money. There he is again, can't find your TV that was in your room. There he is again, you find him in a dope house, strung out. And that's the foul. The most pathetic team out of all these teams, the worst out of all these teams. They're pathetic. They're useless. But I'm rooting for them again this year. Go foul.
Boy, you said it. You said it right. I can't. You make it hard for anybody to go behind you, Calhoun. You took all the points.
Yeah, I get the five to me is what Georgia is and Darren.
I've been let down so much. I don't have high hopes, so. Just beat the Saints every year, and I'm happy.
Falcons are just like all the other Atlanta teams. They can't get outside of 285.
It doesn't matter which color. The uniform is from red to black. They should just stay with red. They should go back to red. Doesn't matter. And then back to red, actually. From red to black to red, it doesn't matter where they are from Fulton County to the Dome to now this monstrosity that they're building downtown that we're paying for. But it's second-rate team again. It doesn't matter. The build doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't win. I'm going to tell you how pathetic it is here in Atlanta being a sports fan. These sons of bitches get parades not for winning shit, but almost going. That's what they get parades for down there. And that's That's unacceptable. So with that, I'm going to ask you two something. I'm going to ask y'all. When was the first time, when was the time that you really remember? When was the monumental time that the Atlanta sports team, one of them, broke your heart? And from then on out, it was just time after time after time. Which one stand out to you as a time like, God damn, not again? Or, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Which time was that for you? I'll start with all you, RTR.
So the time with me was 2 years ago. We down there watching the Falcons being up against San Francisco conference game, thinking we going to the Super Bowl. We up. What, we was up 21 points?
We were up 20 points, I think.
20 points, 17, whatever. We were up. And we fuck around and lose it when he threw that last ball fourth down. And it was batted. He forced it to Gonzalez and it was batted down. Like, what the fuck? I thought I was going to New Orleans that year. When it was 2013, I thought I was going to New Orleans. Thought we were going to be in the Super Bowl to play Ray Lewis and them. That killed me. So right now, I don't. And the Falcons beat the Saints, I'm cool with that. That's why I don't have no high hopes for these guys no more.
I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to tell you when each one of the teams broke my heart.
Here we go.
We can start off with the Hawks because they were the first one to break my heart. Train Dominique. Not only was Dominique dunking on niggas, leading the league and scoring that time, this was the last time the Hawks had the best fucking record in the league. They traded a Lamborghini for a fucking Mazda M6. That was the first time. And of course, the Hawks have kept breaking my heart time after time after time again. Mookie and them, the first time they run up on Jordan, oh shit, it's Jordan. Second time they run up on Jordan, oh, it's Jordan. You got niggas like Lenny Self laughing where his J's on his feet. You got everybody laughing with their J's on their feet. I'm the only one, me and Double R and Sam, the only three repping the Hawks at the time. You know what I'm saying? It's a shame we went to a school with Atlanta in the name, and probably only four people in the school were rooting for the Atlanta team.
Sure was.
So that's when the Falcons broke. I mean, that's when the Hawks broke my heart. They were the first ones. The Braves would be second. Braves broke my heart. Minnesota.
Oh, man.
After that, I never thought they were going to win a championship. I ain't going to lie. Y'all can run me out of Atlanta for this. I was so shocked that they beat Cleveland. I went into it saying, hey, they're going to beat Minnesota. After they lost to Minnesota, hey, they're going to beat Toronto. After they lost to Toronto, hey, it's just not meant to be. The Braves always be the bridesmaid, never the bride. They finally get over the hump. Wow, we might can win three or four of these things and salvage this shit. After that, of course we can't win three or four of these things. They're Atlanta teams. God was lucky enough to give us one. The Falcons, I never really expected shit from the Falcons. When they went to South Beach, I didn't think they were going to win. But I didn't even think they were going to beat Minnesota. I ain't going to lie. When I did think they were going to win, it was in 2013. And it was such an epic for us because we tailgated most of that year.
Oh, yeah.
And we had such a great tailgate game. Our tailgates were so epic that, you know, it seemed like everything would come together. Our tailgates would come together. The Falcons were playing better. And we finally made it. And we talked about that. Me and Double R, we said, should we tailgate? Nah, we're not going to tailgate this game. You remember that?
Yeah, we did.
And we wound up saying, fuck it, we'll just go out there to somebody's tailgate. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe our tailgates were a good luck charm and we just let the city down by not tailgate. Who fucking knows? But they lost. And not only did they lose, but the way that they lost, and you know what hurts more so? Is that we don't have a Super Bowl and these New Orleans motherfuckers do. You got niggas from Atlanta who've never been to New Orleans. If you ask them how to get to New Orleans, they're going to go and say, hey man, go 85 north or 85 or 75 south. They don't even know how to get to New Orleans. But yet they run around here ripping Who That Nation and stuff like that. That's not the stab in the wound. That's the salt on the wound and turning the knife. That's the pain inside of all this. So the Falcons, they were the last ones to break my heart, but they broke it even worse. That's just like going back to the bride maid. That's just like basically saying, hey, the dude's about to get on his knee and he tears his ACL while he's getting on his knee to propose. He tears his ACL, screams in pain, drops the wedding ring down the sewer drain, and after that, nothing happens. So that's how Atlanta has hurt me. That's how Atlanta has broken my heart.
Wow, I don't think I can follow that up, but I'm going to try. First, I'll go with the team we haven't missed. Our most successful team in Atlanta Well, besides the Braves, because the Braves have won something. Believe it or not, it's the Atlanta Dream, and that says a lot about our franchise. Within the last 15 years, the most successful team is the Dream. That says a lot. Back-to-back WNBA Finals. But if you notice, we don't have nothing in the Raptors, because back-to-back, them hoes lost.
So the curse applies to the hoes, too, not just niggas.
Yo, this shit go around. If we got Atlanta anything in it, this is what's going to happen. I don't give a damn who you got on there. I don't care if we have a dream team down here. Atlanta rub off on them, and they're not going to win anything. That's Atlanta sports. So that's how you become numb to it. First time with me was with Dominique. And we keep referring to that because it's true. Dominique for Danny Manning was unbelievable. It's one of those things where you look at it, just like I just did with the Craig Kimmel thing. You look at it, you're like, nah, that got to be fake. That can't be real. At the time, there was no phones and all that. You just heard about it. It's like, that can't be real. Sure, that must be a mistake. And then you find out, oh my God, this is real. How? When? Who's in charge of this? So that was the first time with the Hawks. That was unbelievable. With the Braves, as you know, growing up, they were shit at first. Then they had their run. The Minnesota one was a horrible one to me. I thought we could have beat Toronto. But the one that really stood out to me was when we played the fucking Yankees. We went up there, we came back home 2-0 and got backdoor swept. Now this year went 2-3-2, and we lost all three home games. So, unbelievable what happened with New York. And that's when I knew the Braves, I don't give a damn Bobby Cox or not. I thought the same way. We're going to get at least two or three out of here. And we ended up getting one freaking World Series. Unbelievable. That's pathetic. As far as the Falcon go, I'm a football guy. So that's my favorite sport. So of course they will be my favorite team. And of course they are the most consistently trash team. As you all know, that last time when RTR was talking about, that had to be the roughest one. Even with the other one though. The first time they went 13-3 here. Nope. I gotta go back. See how bad this is? The Super Bowl. I did think they could have beat Denver. I thought if you could beat Minnesota, you can beat Denver. That's what I was thinking the whole time. The way they showed up, not just that game, that season. We looked unstoppable that season. And I thought we could beat Denver. We was better than them. And of course, we came out playing like trash and lost it. But with that game, the 13-3 year, the first year, when Green Bay came down here and beat the dog shit out of us at home, I thought we was going to win that year. Because again, the road to the Super Bowl ran through Atlanta. I thought that was our year. Fast forward. We go ahead and get Julio Jones. Now we're back. 13-3. Here it is, the fourth quarter. 17 points left. Remember, we were tailgating all year. Y'all was already down there. I had called y'all because I didn't want to come down there and then suffer that kind of loss. I just didn't want to be in public with it. So I waited. I knew we had it in hand. Third quarter, it was up 20-some points. I rolled down to find y'all during the tailgate only for them to piss it down their leg. In Matt Ryan, Falcon fashion. That's when they lost me with it. That's the culmination. If that game is the culmination of Atlanta sports. We just fought out, beat Seattle the week before. Remember then?
Yep.
If it was down there.
We tailgated that game.
Yeah.
That one.
He kicked the winning field goal.
Yep. Remember MOB with aha and all that? Of course, all you fake ass motherfuckers in the city. Just want to root against the home team, which is another kind of being a fan of any of our home team. There's so many motherfuckers down here that keep rooting against them. We ain't did none of your team. I don't know why y'all want to be negative towards us, but they always do. And none of the only people that have fans, Brady Davis, they always do. Man, I don't fuck the Falcons. I root for the Saints, like you said. Motherfucker, he ain't even been to Alabama, let alone New Orleans. So it's just pathetic to me. But They always give enough ammunition for you to do it. We never can talk shit like we want to talk shit. We never can put our chest out. We never can do anything. I give you another one. Georgia. That game we was talking about when we was playing Alabama, you had it in hand. Here in Atlanta. Georgia. Georgia always find a way to rip your heart out. Georgia's unbelievable at that. Mark Rick is unbelievable at that. It's just unreal how these teams does this. How they do it. It's unreal. And at this point, they become perfect with it. It's perfection. We wait now to see when we're going to fuck up. We call each other. We text each other, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Nah, we're going to fuck it up right here coming in 5,
4-3. I couldn't even get the one. See?
No, I disagree with you. These guys are like Picasso and how they fuck up. They paint a perfect picture of fucking up. They hit you with, you thinking they come with a vicious right, they hit you with the left. It's like they sit there and say, how can we fuck over the fans this time? I know. Let's fumble on 4th and 1, up by 3 on our 1 yard line. They'll do some shit like that.
Now you do it. Cleveland game, your coach, under a minute left, calls timeout for the other team. Now they do it. Here you are in San Francisco. You all the way down at the 10-yard line. It's under a minute left in the game, and Matt Ryan throws the pick 6. You know how they do it? You see where I'm going? And this is how we do it.
You forgot in London. You forgot about the London moment.
It's man. And that's how you should. We saw our sister in the podcast like that, just baffled. Because that's how it is to be an Atlanta fan. That's why this is the agony of being an Atlanta fan. Because they always say it's agony and defeat. And that's what we're well versed in, being defeated.
Well, they say to get to the mountaintop, you got to go through some valleys. Lord knows we've been through the valleys. When are we going to see the mountaintop in our lifetime?
Shit, I hope we see it in our lifetime. That's
we
all
will
I want.
See it. We'll see it in our lifetime.
I want a Super Bowl. I want to see a Super Bowl, an NBA title, or a World Series. Just one.
Which one you think you will see first out of those three, Calhoun? A Super Bowl, a World Series, or an NBA title?
Scary. I don't say a Super Bowl. Right now, we're nowhere near it.
I think it might be an NBA title.
I agree with Double. I say an NBA title.
We'll see an NBA title before we'll see a Super Bowl. And it's so crazy that Digital Darren said this when we was out there tailgating and we lost to San Francisco. Said this loss here done set the Falcon back another 5 years.
And he was right.
You was right.
Alright, thank y'all for listening. This has been DigitalDare.com. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.